Now open your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 up to 13. Ephesians 3, 1 up to 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power to me, who am less than the least of all the saints. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the age has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Brothers and sisters, before an artist puts his brush to canvas, what he's going to paint is a mystery. The idea is clear in the artist's mind. The mystery becomes known as the artist paints the canvas. God is working on a beautiful painting. The mystery of what God has been painting is the result of his mercy and grace. This mystery was revealed to Paul, who revealed it to Christ's church to make known to the world. Therefore, the church has become God's instrument to manifest the amazing colors of what he has done in Christ. Mystery is a curious word. I can mean something unknown, unrevealed, ignored. However, it can mean something revealed, but only to few people like us. Paul used this word in this sense here in Ephesians 3, 1 up to 13. Paul knew that there were some elements of God's revelation that were ignored by the majority of people in the world. Nevertheless, we knew very well the details of these veiled truths. And he was ready to die because of those truths. So this mystery is very important to Paul. He was ready to give his life because of this mystery, because of these truths that was revealed to him. Today, I will expose three aspects of this mystery of Christ. First, the nature of the mystery of Christ. Second, the method of revealing the mystery of Christ. And third, the purpose of revealing the mystery of Christ. First, the nature of the mystery of Christ. We can see this in verses 1 to 6. Verse 1 says that Paul was in a prison when he wrote this epistle to the Ephesians. His logic is easy to understand. If Paul had been a minister of the gospel under the order of Christ, if he had been in prison due to his work, then he was Christ's prisoner. It indicates that Christ has everything under control. Paul was in prison because he loved the Gentiles and he decided to preach to them. Yes, he was committed by the Lord. He was sent by the Lord to the Gentiles, but he did this gladly, with passion, preaching the gospel among Gentiles. They had heard about Paul's stewardship to them, the church of the Ephesians. They heard about this stewardship that Paul received. In verse 2, Paul says this. According to verse 3, the content of this stewardship was manifest directly to Paul. We can see this in Acts, for example, Acts 16:9. He had a vision of a Macedonian man who spoke, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." So he had to preach to the Gentiles to help the Macedonian people. The Lord said unto him in Acts 22, verse 21, "Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." And brothers and sisters, God also revealed this stewardship indirectly to Paul. In Acts 9, 15, he said unto Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." And Paul himself realized that his ministry was to be among the Gentiles. He wrote in Galatians 2, verse 8, the following words, "For he that wrote effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mightily in me toward the Gentiles." So he had to preach the gospel among Gentiles. Paul had all the evidence of this stewardship. He intended to make clear that the mystery revealed to him depended on God's will and not on man's will. What was that mystery? Paul said, "As I wrote afore in few words," he wrote about this mystery in chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. And Paul wrote that the Gentiles were united to Jews and the cross of Jesus Christ in those verses. They were far off, but God brought them near. They were without God in the world, but then God became their Father. Therefore, they were ready to understand the mystery of Christ, Paul says in verse 4. The Holy Spirit revealed the mystery of Christ through the ministry of the apostles and prophets. We can see this in verse 5. And then I ask you again, what is this mystery? Was this mystery revealed to us? Yes, it was. What is this mystery? This mystery is that the Gentiles and are members of the same body and partakers of the same promises God promised to the Jews since the times of the Old Testament. It was hidden before, but it was revealed through Paul's ministry. This means that the gospel has made the Gentiles heirs of the same promise. It means that God often uses our preaching of the gospel to save unbelievers. Look at this. God uses us when we share the gospel to make known His will, His plan. So God is painting the canvas, and we are His brushes. It's amazing. This is ultimately God's work. Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yeah. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." 1 Corinthians 9:16. However, God has made us a steward of this work, as He did with Paul. How are we managing this stewardship? How are you managing this stewardship? How do we live our Christian life? How do you manage your job? Have you been serving us to the Lord? It's a kind of stewardship in the world outside the church. Do we study the scriptures properly in order to learn and to share with people outside the church? This word is wonderful because it reveals the salvation and God's character. This word deserves our best. Do you share the gospel when you have opportunity? Are you shy to speak of the gospel and to make disciples? Remember, it's God's command. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He said to the disciples, "Go and make disciples." Go. But go is not the imperative. It's not the order. It's something like going. While you are going, make disciples. The command is make disciples. So to make disciples, we need to share the gospel first. And then we can teach Bible teachings to them. Are you making disciples? Galatians 6:7 says, "God is not mocked." And Jeremiah 48:10 says, "Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord with slackness." That means we need to spend more time with our devotionals. We need to do our work anywhere with excellence. And we ought to relish in the high honor of this stewardship. It's not easy to be Christians, brothers and sisters, but we need to do that for God's glory. Second, the method of revealing the mystery of Christ, verses 7 to 9. In verses 7 and 8, Paul presents himself as a secondary character completely dependent on God's calling. The first evidence of this is that he called himself a minister, which is actually the Greek word diakonos, which is where we get our word deacon in English. This means that Paul sees his ministry as a service to God. He's more particularly a servant of the gospel. And God gave this privilege to him according to the power of His might. At the same time, he was a gift to the Gentiles. According to Ephesians 4:11, we can conclude that Paul was a gift. And he, because the word of God says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." God gave him to them. God gave Paul to them. And brothers and sisters, God gave a pastor to you. God gave elders to take care of you. God is giving gifts to the church. gifts by the Holy Spirit, but they give gifts as persons who will take care of the church. Pastors and teachers, for example. So God gave Paul to them, to the Ephesians, to preach the word to them. And second, Paul called himself less than the least of all saints. It means that he considered himself unworthy to reveal the mystery of Christ, but God gave him the grace to preach. This is the method of revealing the mystery of Christ, to preach. Nobody deserves this privilege, but God gave it to us. It is a privilege because we announce the unsearchable riches of Christ when we preach, when we share the gospel. And the term unsearchable means impossible to follow the trail. It means that the riches of the treasure of Christ are so great that they are beyond our ability to comprehend. They are overwhelming. This should cause us to value the gospel as the most precious thing ever. As Paul shows that the riches of Christ are unsearchable, it brings us to the conclusion that God had to empower Paul's preaching, and it was necessary. Once Paul said that he was not a good preacher, he said, somebody complained about my way to preach. I have not a good speech, he said. So Paul depended on God. The biggest missionary ever depended on God all the time. I'm depending on God right now to preach to you. And you depend on God to share the gospel as well. But this work is God's work. It's awesome. We do not convince people because we are limited. But the Holy Spirit does it. Therefore, we have to preach, even though we are not able to convince people. Once, I'm going to tell you one thing that happened in Brazil. Once, a judge went to a Brazilian church and a madman sat at his side in the church. When the preacher exhorted the congregation to believe the gospel, the madman whispered in the judge's ear, "Do you want to go to heaven?" And then the judge answered, in order to provoke him to see his reaction, he said, "No." And then the madman said, "So go to the hell." The judge became furious and left the church. Nevertheless, that night he could not sleep. The words kept rattling around in his head. If he would not go to heaven, he should go to hell. Then he decided to be a Christian. And the next Sunday he was in the church with a Bible under his arms. It was interesting. I'm not encouraging you to evangelize this way, please. But even this way was enough. Because of the power of God in the judge's life. So if you don't know exactly how to share the gospel, if you think like this, I cannot share the gospel like Pastor Adam, I cannot share the gospel like the elders do, don't worry about this, because the power is not yours. The power belongs to God. And He will empower your preaching, your message of the gospel. We depend on God. It depends on God's grace to work, brothers and sisters, so that our evangelism would affect a sinner's heart. When Paul preached in Philippi, God opened Lydia's heart so that she could pay attention to Paul's words. The word of God speaks like this, exactly that. The effectiveness of our testimony depends on God's power. Then, share the gospel. Share the gospel. It is the God's power for salvation. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation. So be courageous and preach, share the gospel. Finally, Paul said that he would have to bring the plan of the mystery to light. And we can see this in verse 9. It indicates that Paul was managing the ministry in a clear way before everybody. He said that God hid this mystery throughout the ages, but now he can manifest it clearly. So, it was hidden, but now it was manifest. So we need to be part of this plan. We need to take part of this precious mission God has. Because God has a mission to fill the earth with His glory. And we can be part of this mission when we share the gospel. Now let me speak about the third point. It's the purpose of revealing the mystery of Christ. The purpose of revealing the mystery of Christ. Verses 10 to 13. Paul said that it was God's purpose to use the church to show His manifold wisdom. Verse 10. This manifold wisdom literally means a big variation of colors. Look at this. That's the reason why I used a figure of the painting artist in the beginning of this sermon. The scene is like an artist painting a canvas. The painting has a big variation of colors and details. It reveals that the artist is a genius. You see? The brush God uses to paint the canvas is the church. What a privilege. This is God's purpose for revealing the mystery of Christ, to manifest His manifold wisdom through the church. The rulers and authorities know the richness, details, and colors of what God is painting through the church. These rulers and authorities are not demons. They are angels of God. They rejoice exceedingly whenever they see the advance of God's redemptive purposes in the world. We can see this in Luke 15, verse 10. This text confirms this truth. Likewise, I say unto you, says Jesus, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And 1 Peter 1:12 also says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desired to look into. Look at this. Even the angels are glad because of the effects of God's work in the earth through the church. And it's a mystery, because we cannot imagine who is who. And then we have a surprise. Oh, look at that man. I could not imagine. He was an elect of the Lord. But he was saved. He was converted. Look at this. Even we can be surprised. And I was surprised once when Peter Jones shared in Brazil, when he went there to gave a lecture in Mackenzie College. He said that he was a friend of John Lennon, that famous rock singer. And once John Lennon asked him help because he was deeply sad. And then he shared the gospel. And Peter Jones prayed with him. And Peter Jones listened to him confessing Jesus as the Lord. And one week later, John Lennon was murdered. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say that it'd be a surprise when we go to the heaven and when we find some people there that we could not imagine. John Lennon. If it was true that he was really repented, it would be a big surprise. Sure. So when we preach the gospel, the same happens. I preached the gospel to my father-in-law for many, many years. And once he asked me, how can I be saved? Oh, I was a student in the seminary in Brazil. And look, to make this kind of question to a student of theology is asking to be evangelized. Oh, so I evangelized him. And I started in Genesis, and I went through the entire Bible. And when I reached the end of the Bible, expounding the gospel, my father-in-law said, oh, it's interesting. So you do you mean that I need to repent of my sins, I need to believe the gospel, I need to believe that Jesus Christ died in my place on the cross, and if I believe this, I will be saved? I said, yes, and I imagined he will stop the car and ask me to pray with him. But he said, I don't believe this. But years later, we were in a cemetery, and then I asked him, what would you like to write in your tomb when you die? And he said, I'm going to write this. Probably I'm in the hell. And then I said, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the hell this way? Do you know what is hell? And then I explained to him what is hell. How terrible is this place? How God is there just punishing people and without mercy and love, but with justice. And then he was astonished and looking to me, he said, oh, now I think I have a problem. And then I said, yes, you have. And you need to read the Bible urgently. And then he started to read the Bible. And I came to the United States. And last year, he shared with me that he was reading the Bible. And a few months later, I think 2 or 3 months, he already read the Bible. And then we started to read the shorter catechism together and study the Bible. And then he read the Bible a second time. In a few months, and he read the Westminster Standards of Faith. Oh, he is Calvinist now, and he became a Christian because the power belongs to God. Because God put his heart on him before the creation of heaven and earth. It depended on God and not dependent on my ability to share the gospel with him. And today, he will be baptized in Brazil. He will profess his faith in Jesus Christ. Today, this is a special day for us because God decided to use me, to use my wife, to use my children, as paintbrushes in his canvas. And God wants to use you as paintbrush in his canvas to paint this great, great handwork. How are you behaving? How are you believing the gospel? Are you keeping this to you? It's not only for us, brothers and sisters. We need to share this with others. We have to tell them that we have a good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, because they are going to hell. They're living a life without God in this world. And we need to tell them that there is a hope. Jesus is the hope they need. So, brothers and sisters, can you visualize it? How awesome is God's work of salvation? Sometimes we become surprised and, I suppose, hard heart softens toward the preaching of the gospel. There is no heart hard enough that God cannot change by his invincible grace. Then, we read that God acts this way according to his eternal purpose. God is sovereign. God acts in Christ. In addition, we have boldness and access with confidence in Christ. This boldness and this confidence are steps of faith in Jesus. In Jesus, we can go beyond. In Christ, we have direct access to the throne of grace. I could not go into the White House, into the president's office, but his daughter can do it anytime. She can go everywhere with freedom and confidence. However, if I try to do it, the security service would put me in a jail. I cannot move beyond my station. Could we have access to the throne of the ruler of the universe? Yes, in Jesus. In Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father. Paul stated in Ephesians 2:18 that we all have access in one spirit to the Father in Jesus Christ. We have this access because we are his children by the mediation of Jesus Christ. Finally, the verse 13 teaches us that the Ephesians should not feel guilty because of Paul's prison. Paul's imprisonment is for their glory. Paul was arrested because he preached the gospel to them. More than that, this gospel changed their lives. And even more than that, Paul was in prison to write this letter. Paul was in prison so that we might read this epistle today. Thus, Paul's prison is for our glory as well. Let's remember that we are participants in this ministry of revealing the mystery of Christ. Let's preach the gospel with passion and zeal. Let's remind one another that each converted person is the mystery cleared up. As we are the paintbrushes in the hands of the greatest artist ever, let's work. Set an objective. I need to make disciples. Think about a friend or neighbor and share the gospel with him. Tell your experience with Jesus. Invite this person to pray and to read the Bible together. Brothers and sisters, we need to see people being transformed. It causes us to join the Lord. Not only this, when a sinner repents, we can rejoice with all the choirs of angels in heaven. May God bless his people. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we give thanks for this message. It comes from your scripture to our hearts. Oh Lord, help us to be courageous witnesses of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to share this gospel bravely, Lord, in order to see the gospel changing people, changing hearts. In order to see people joining us, oh Lord, to worship your name. Because to worship you is a command for all nations, Lord, as we sang before through the Psalms. All nations must worship your name, must give thanks, must praise your name, Lord, and help us to share to them the gospel, Lord, to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they might join us, Lord, to worship your name. We give thanks, Lord, because this gospel reached us, Lord, in the past. But we cannot keep this, Lord, only with us. Help us, Lord, to share this with other people. They are thirsty. They are fasting, Lord. We need to help them to feed their hearts, to feed their souls. So use us, Lord. It's a privilege for us to see your grace, Lord, changing people, transforming people through our preaching, through our work in Jesus Christ. We trust in you, Lord, that the power belongs to you and not to us. So we dedicate ourselves to your service in order to make your name known in this city, in our places, Lord, in our jobs, school or college, anywhere. Use this church, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.